Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Chris Chi, and as usual, we are always very, very pleased and honored to be able to broadcast with you, to you, live and in living color. Tonight's program, of course, is going to be pretty interesting, especially given the fact that we are going to be talking very shortly with the attorney who represents Marissa Alexander. Now, for those of you who have been following this case, then surely you know that there has been a major breakthrough, and we're really very happy to hear that. But there's some other things you need to know about this situation that is not as clear as it needs to be. So very shortly, we're going to talk with Faith Gay, who is the lead attorney for Marissa Alexander. Okay, let's see. We are going to, of course, before we begin tonight's program, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are very, very cognizant and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight, we're going to really kind of give you some insight or further insight into the case of Marissa Alexander, but we're going to also talk to you about a couple of things, including, one, the, you know, this year, of course, marked the 50th year anniversary for not only the March on Washington, but a bunch of other stuff, including, of course, the September 15th bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. Now, today, and in the past week, we've talked about, of course, the four little girls who were murdered as a result of the dynamite that was planted at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And next week, we're going to continue that dialogue. But a little later on, we're going to talk with Sister Betsy, who I had the opportunity to meet last week when we were over at the Shanghai City Cultural Center. And again, we were talking about the situation of the murder of those four young sisters. And we raised the question today as to how can we honor those who lost their lives, those who were wounded or you know, all kinds of things during particularly the 50s and the 60s. Needless to say, our people have been going through that since we were brought here these past 300-400 years. But, of course, there was an era that we are paying some specific attention to right at this time, especially given the fact that as the Men on the March now becomes a global movement, one of the key areas that we're focusing on is that of human rights. That's right, not just civil rights, but human rights, because it's so important that we begin to get other countries involved in what we're doing and what we're talking about and so forth and so on. And so we have to now do that. So, again, on October 25th, we invite all of you to join us at the Justice Department when we hold one of our first public rallies, assemblies, where at that point we begin to charge the United States government with genocide. The specific rally, again, will kick off what we call the Men on the Movement Direct Action Plan, and, of course, our black print for power, prosperity, and peace. And with that, you know, developing a movement is, you know, more than a notion I've come to learn, but certainly something that had to happen, particularly for women and girls of African descent, because it had not happened before, and it was certainly past due, and now we have one. Now, whether our women will participate or support in the way that they should, I truly think so. 1997 certainly showed that we could, and we did. And so now we have to redevelop what we have to do, what we said we would do, our mission and so forth. We have to now bring that forward to a greater extent, and that is what the Men and Women Movement is about. And as you've heard me often say, I didn't anticipate it would take this long, but when you look at things in a kind of wider or more holistic perspective, you kind of realize that, yeah, things do sometimes take longer than you think. And perhaps rightfully so, because some, especially when it's groundbreaking, some stuff is just that kind of way. It's complicated. And we found that to be the case with the Million Woman Movement, because, again, it had not been done before. And we were very, very pleased and very honored to be able to, you know, be at the helm of it at this time. So, with that said, we're going to give you more information about the Million Woman March week that's coming up in Philadelphia from October the 27th through November the 3rd. We're going to give you more information about the Rally for Justice, again, October the 25th, which will mark our anniversary date, 16 years. We call it Sweet 16. And very soon we're going to give you some very exciting news about what we're doing for the next 5 years. That's right. We've worked very, very hard, very diligently to really look and examine a lot of things and to prepare plans of action to address some of the concerns that we raised, some of the issues, and so forth. We want to remind you that on October the 1st, we begin our pledging campaign, our membership drive, because we really do need that support. Again, the Million Woman March has never gotten a grant or corporate sponsoring. There are groups out there who claim to be Million Woman March something or the other, but the national, the original, the founding, et cetera, that was never our program and not anything we've ever been interested in. In fact, we've developed several components now called In the Black, as well as the BBB Co., and these are all self-determination components that are guaranteed, really, to make certain that we're able to move forward with the type of financial things that we need to do and so forth. So we'll be telling you more about that as well. Okay, moving right along, we want to again remind you that very shortly we'll be talking with Faith Gay, who is the lead attorney for Marissa Alexander. I really want you all to pay very close attention to what Attorney Gay is going to say, because I had the opportunity to read the opinion. As you probably are aware, that oftentimes when cases, especially when they become more public, the participants that are in the judiciary will write something. And in this particular situation, the judge that gave the okay for the new trial did write what's known as an opinion. That, of course, was published. And in the opinion, it was some kind of interesting things that if one didn't really examine it closely, you would have kind of missed it. And so we're going to talk about that later on, too, because this new trial is kind of interesting and needs to be observed very, very carefully. And I'll give you more insight into why I'm saying that. But I want to wait to hear what Attorney Gay is going to tell us before we begin to examine that a little closer. But again, for those who are not familiar with the case, we're going to give you a little insight into that, and then we'll proceed accordingly. Again, the other things we're going to talk about tonight is looking again 50 years ago in Birmingham and Montgomery, Alabama, when white folks was really off the hook. Not that they're not off the hook now, but they were like blatantly in people's faces doing things. And, you know, we're going to talk with Sister Betsy, who I met recently, who lived in Montgomery at the time, and her grandparents and parents were involved in the movement during that time period when there was a move, or shall we say, a real struggle, a real fight, you know, for folks to be able to vote and for folks to be able to go, you know, where they wanted to go and so forth and so on. Sometimes today we don't realize just what really went on during that time period, but we want to revisit some of that so that, you know, again, we can pay honor to our ancestors. Again, I'm not one for a lot of advocating about, you know, the voting and the process of this government, needless to say. But one thing I do know is we better really start playing this game that's going to benefit us to a greater extent. And I don't mean get all caught up in it or anything like that, but it's like anything else. Folks get up, they go to work, or they go to school, or they do whatever. You're doing something in this system. So needless to say, there's a few other things we better start doing in this system. Again, we congratulate Mayor Chokwe Lumumba. Of course, we have Alton Max now and his organization heading up the Freedom Party in New York. They're running their own mayoral candidate. I'm just saying it's time that we make some other moves. We don't have to sell out or get caught up in this stuff the way most people do, but we do need to create something that will allow us to function a bit more realistically and to develop some things that can hold people accountable or something thereof. At any rate, we'll talk more about that a little later on as well. But again, in pursuing that, we want to examine some of what happened 50 years ago and prior to that, and in some regards even today, because you know they tried to pull something a few years ago in Florida, and then just last year was trying to, you know, change it up, which you got to get an ID to vote and all this stuff. The bottom line is trickery is, you know, there in our faces. It's going to be there, but again, what are we going to do? So, again, very shortly, we're going to talk with the attorney, but in the meantime, let's do a little review. Let's see, I think we have something here that we want to share with you, and I believe we have it right here. Let's see. Okay, this is just a brief clip from Marissa Alexander, I think. Let's try it. Uh-oh. Having some technical. Here we go.
Kind of passed out for thinking. Her husband
received probation after that incident. Months later.
Okay, we're having some technical difficulties, but that's okay. What we'll do is wait for the attorney, and we can kind of get the overview from her as to what happened, and maybe we'll be able to pull up this clip again. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll be trying to do that. Oh, wait a minute. I think we might have it.
Florida, when her husband started pounding on the door. She says he was in a jealous rage over text messages on her cell phone.
He managed to get the door open, and that's when he strangled me. He put his hands around my neck.
Alexandra got away from her husband and then made a fateful decision. She could have run out the front door and escaped. Instead, she ran into the garage, but says she did not have her car keys and the garage door was stuck. So instead, she grabbed her gun she kept in this garage.
And what did you think you were going to do with it?
I thought that I was going to have to protect myself.
Were you thinking you might have to shoot it?
Yeah, I did. If it came to that, he saw my weapon at my side. And when he saw it, he was even more upset, and that's when he threatened to kill me.
But how is he going to kill you if you're the one with the gun?
I agree. I thought it was crazy, too.
But why did you run out the door then?
There was no other way to get out the door. He was right there.
What if he would have run around and to go out the door? Your life would have been easier today if you did that.
Yeah, but to go out safe, I don't have to.
The law she's talking about is the controversial stand your ground law. Instead of running, she did what she thought was allowed by law. She believed she stood her ground and fired the gun into the wall. Nobody was hurt, but it was enough to scare her husband, Rico Gray, and he left the house with his two young children from a previous relationship. Alexandra was safe from her husband, but not from the law. She was arrested, her stand-your-ground defense rejected, and found guilty by a jury.
Marissa Alexander's husband, Rico Gray, agreed to do an on-camera interview with us to counter his wife's allegations. But a few hours later, he made the decision not to do the interview, claiming that going on camera would put his life in danger. However, later, he sent us an email saying he would do an interview if he got paid, which CNN does not do. But he has already said quite a bit. Doing a deposition with a prosecutor from the Office of State Attorney Angela Corey and a defense attorney for his wife, Rico Gray acknowledged hitting his wife in the past and said this about the shooting incident, quote, "If my kids weren't there, I knew I probably would have tried to take the gun from her. I probably would have put my hand on her." Marissa Alexander's attorney then asked the husband what he meant about putting his hand on her. And Rico Gray responded, "Probably hit her. I got five baby mamas, and I put my hands in every last one of them except for one."
I believe believe when he threatened to kill me, that's what he was going to do. That's exactly what he intended to do. And had I not discharged my weapon at that point, I would not be here.
But later, at a court hearing to determine whether Marissa Alexander should get immunity based on the standard ground law, Rico Gray changed his story, saying he lied repeatedly in the deposition to protect his wife, claiming he did not threaten to kill her, and testifying, quote, I begged and pleaded for my life when she had the gun. The jury deliberated for 12 minutes before convicting her. The Jacksonville NAACP wrote a letter to the trial judge saying Marissa Alexander may not receive justice because of her gender, race, or economic status. Some African-American news websites are saying much the same thing. And if Marissa had been white, her standard ground defense would have been accepted, and she wouldn't be facing 20 years in prison. But Alexander will not say if she agrees with that possibility.
I'm going to be honest with you, I'm uncomfortable answering that.
For now, she sits in the city jail, awaiting her sentencing scheduled for next week. She had a baby girl with Rico Gray almost 2 years ago, but she only sees her child in photographs. That's because Rico Gray has custody. He's considered the victim, his wife, the criminal.
This isn't my life we're fighting for. This is my life. And it's my life. It is not entertainment. It is my life.
The 20-year sentence is a mandatory 20 years, meaning no chance of parole. Gary Tuckman, CNN.
Okay, now you have a clearer idea as to what has happened here. We're talking about 20 years mandatory sentencing. And this is something that we've talked about here on our program on a few occasions, and that is the fact that women of African descent get some very interesting sentencing, to put it mildly, in comparison. Now, Marissa Alexander, of course, has no priors. You heard, you know, the report here that indicates that her husband admit beating her, hitting her previously, and he said, you know, if she didn't have a head cut, he's pretty sure he would have, you know, did something. Family, I really like to get your opinion. Now, what we're going to do is open up the chat room in about 5 minutes. We're still waiting for the attorney to push one. If you are listening, Attorney Gay, I can't see you yet. We have a lot of folks on our board, and I need for you to push one if you're listening. At any rate, we'd like to really begin to have some dialogue. I think I will remember her number when I see it. Hopefully, we've got a lot of folks on the board. Okay, but in the meantime, let's see. We are going to ask you all to give us your opinion about what you think is going on with this case. This sister is facing 20 years. Now, of course, this was an old report. And she is going to get a new trial, but what do you think? I mean, how would you like to see this proceed? Meaning, some are saying there should be an immediate release, you know, based on the fact that she shot into the wall. Some say into the ceiling. We'll get some clarity on that from the attorney. But again, we know either way, no one was injured. No one was injured. So, you know, why is this woman now facing 20 years? I mean, this is just incredible, but maybe not. Okay, we do have the attorney, I believe, on our line. So, family, we're going to ask you to hold on. We're going to go over to the chat room again in about 5 minutes because we definitely love to hear your comments, your questions, and so forth. This is going to be an ongoing kind of dialogue. Again, we don't know yet when the trial is scheduled, but as soon as we find out, we certainly will keep you all posted and abreast. But for right now, we want to just kind of get some insight. You know, what does this mean, a new trial? What does this really mean, and how can we help, or can we help? Let's go to our live line now, and joining us, we should have now Attorney Faith Gay, who, of course, is the lead attorney here and representing Marissa Alexander. Oh, we're trying to bring her in. Hold on, family. Oh, okay. We're having some technical difficulties. Attorney Gay, please hang in there with us. We're having just a minor problem. And family, you all know how that goes. So we sometimes get, you know, these technical problems, and it just so happened, as soon as we were getting ready to bring in Attorney Gay, our board started freezing up on us. Wow. Okay. Please bear with us. We are still working this little technical glitch out, and hopefully we can do it in a few moments. But in the meantime, we're asking all of you to please hang in there. What we're going to do is take a quick break. We'll be right back. We need to try to figure out what's going on. Attorney Gates, please stay right there. We're going to try one more thing to unfreeze these boards. We have so many callers, so perhaps that's what's kind of clogging some things up. But what we're going to do again is just take a quick break, and hopefully we can get this thing taken care of in a few moments.
When I wake up in the morning, and the sunlight is something without force, yesterday or Sunday, I get you. The world is all right, baby. Just one look at you. Thank you.
Okay. We have cleared up our boards. Attorney Gay was on our line. Hopefully, we just indicated to her to please call back in, and hopefully we can resume what we were attempting to do for this evening. Wow, that was really kind of deep, but not so much so. We unfortunately had some technical difficulties and lost a couple of our calls. So we're going to again attempt to get Attorney Gay back. In the meantime, let me do this real quick while we try to reconnect with her. We want to remind you that if you are interested in going, of course, for educational journey in December, several of us are planning to go to Cuba. So what I'm going to do is bring, I think, we're going to bring in our brother Lee and have him to share with you some information while we try to get Attorney Gay back. Again, we are planning to go to Cuba in December, on December 18th, I believe, and hopefully we can grab Brother Lee real quick so he can maybe provide that information for you, and for those who are interested, hopefully you will be able to come along with us. Brother Lee, do we have you on this line? Okay, maybe not. Okay, well, we were hoping we had Brother Lee. All right, moving right along. Let's see. We do have a message from the attorney. And let's see. She was saying that she could not hear us and she got disconnected. Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to try one more time to get her back. So, let's see. We're going to take another quick break, and hopefully we can get her back in a moment. Oh, this is not good, but this is technology. This is what happens. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're still trying to connect with Attorney Gay. We lost her. We did have her. However, our board's locked on us, and we were not able to get through. So we see that a few of you have some questions or comments. So what we're going to do is go to you while we still try to reconnect with her. Caller, you're at 1436. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? We're going to open up your mic in a few moments. So, Kathy, we have you. You're at 1381. Do you have a question or comment for us? 1381. Okay. Again, caller at 4381. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? Okay. Guess not. All right. We are still attempting to get through again to the attorney, but we seem to have lost her. We had some problems with our boards getting frozen on us. We had so many calls at one time that it seemed to crash our boards. So let's see. We're going to move right along and continue on with some of our programming. Let's see. We do have coming up, while we're still trying to connect with Attorney Gray, we're going to try one more time. Caller, you did press 1, so we have you on here. We're going to try one more time with caller at 4381. Let's see if you have a comment or a question for us tonight. You did press 1, so I'm showing that you did want to say something, so we'll try one more time with you before we close that out. 4381. Did you have a comment or a question for us tonight? Okay, guess not. All right. We will move away from that one. All right. And again, we are still attempting to get back with Attorney Gay. She did send a text message indicating that she was trying to get on and kept getting disconnected. So I'm not sure what that's about, but we know that sometimes technology does make that happen. So we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, if we're not able to connect with her, we'll have to move on to the next segment of our program. So we'll be right back. No one can feel you. Don't let go. Then you won't let go. The fall of the brother with you be the hand. We all need somebody to see it all. I just thank you. There is the Lord who will never fail. Okay, we're back. And unfortunately, we were not able to reconnect to Attorney Gay. She did send us a text message saying that she would be more than happy to come back tomorrow, but we are not doing a show tomorrow. So moving right along. Okay, let's see. We are going to probably, I guess, just open up our phone lines for now. What we want to do is get your opinion, family, in regards to this case. Again, Marissa Alexander. As it turns out, there is a new trial that is being scheduled. We should hear more about that in the next couple of weeks, if not sooner. But the question is, what do you all think? In view of the fact that Zimmerman was able to walk, and I mean walk scot-free, no penalty, no nothing, after killing Trayvon Martin, he was found not guilty. He was acquitted, and as a result, he went on about his business and has created and been dealing with havoc ever since. So now, here we are with Marissa Alexander, who shot into the wall, a warning shot, injured no one, definitely killed no one. So what do you all think? What kind of verdict or what do you think should happen as a result of now a new trial? Please let us know. We're ready for your opinion, your comment. You can press 1 now. And as we're doing that, we're going to get ready to open up the chat room. We are a little behind in doing that now because we thought we would have Attorney Gay joining us. We did have her, but unfortunately our voice got locked, and that created some problems. And she got a little impatient or something. I don't know. But nevertheless, we no longer have her on our line. So, again, I'd like to know from you all, what do you think we should look for in this case that will be coming up, that will be, you know, tried again, as they say? And you'd like to know what kinds of things do you think we all can do, should do, to try to make certain that Marissa Alexander is freed expeditiously. Certainly, there is a probably three-year-old child now that definitely needs her mother. And this woman is now facing still 20 years until the trial says otherwise. So, again, what do you all think we should do? What do you all think needs to come out of this new trial? Please press 1, and let's get to some of your views and comments. Okay, let's see. We're going to try 4381. Do you have a comment for us tonight? 4381? Okay. Wow, we have people that are pushing 1 tonight but are not saying anything. Or maybe, again, we are experiencing some problems because that is what Attorney Gay indicated, that she kept getting disconnected. So not sure what's going on. Okay, we're going to try 1 more time because I'm not seeing anyone press 1 yet. So we need to do like maybe some kind of test run here. Okay, great. I am seeing a couple now. All right, caller, you're at 4294. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? And hold on right there. See, yeah, we're having some problems. We're trying to bring in, yeah, something's going on with our boards. We're trying to bring in 4291, and there is some problem. Okay. It is our board. Family, we are having some technical difficulties. That's what's going on. Let's see. We're going to try 1 more time with you, caller, at 4294. We're trying to open up your mic. Can you hear me? Wow. Okay. Yep, something's going on. We are not able to access our mics tonight, folks. So I see now what's happening. We're not able to bring anything in. Our mics are all kind of muted for some reason. So that's a problem. Well, it's not a whole lot we can really do about that. Wow. Really sorry about that, family. There's not a whole lot we can do about that, though. We're trying to figure out what the problem is, but it's not letting us do that. Let me try one more thing and see if that will help. But unfortunately, we're not having any success with this.
Hello?
Okay. Brother Randy, is that you?
Yes, it just said unmuted. Prior to that, each time it said muted, muted, muted.
Wow. Okay, yep. We've been having some serious problems. We had the attorney on earlier, and unfortunately, we ended up losing her because she kept getting disconnected. So, it's one of those technical nights.
No,
but anyway,
it's a black
thank you.
Experience. It's a black experience night. So she's
absolutely.
Having a black experience. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Well, my brother, I certainly thank you for getting through tonight. And, so far, and we talked about this briefly, what do you think about what has happened with this case with Marissa Alexander?
For me, it's very simple. It's a case of us not being united, and people targeting people who don't seem to have a lot of means of support for brutal, unconstitutional, human rights violating type sentences. And the nature of this situation, it falls in the fault line of black male-female relations, domestic issues. It's the kind of thing that's difficult to unite around because everyone is going to have a different take or understanding where their documents or the lack thereof. So you have a man and woman that were together. You have a situation where the woman felt threatened by the man in this instance, yet the man has, I've seen documents where he filed a police complaint before. You have a relationship full of drama. But clearly, she's not someone that wanted to hurt him because if you had a gun, she could have shot him. I mean, you have a gun and you try, she had no problem dinging him if she had wanted to hurt him. So, I mean, the long sentence is outrageous. If she had wanted to hurt the man with the firearm, he was right there. That would have been the time to prove that she had an instinct with a desire to take life. No matter what went on in their relationship, even if there's some guilt, I'd have some fear if I probably had hit someone or done something and I have a gun or whatever. That all that sounds like a male-female situation where some counseling and some real intervention, but they don't offer that because they want a Willie Lynch story writ large with the black man and woman tearing each other down in front of their kids. That's what the system wants. And the question is, why aren't some of these groups, aside from you, Sister Empress, why can't the National Congress of Black Women, some of the other people, get some cooler heads together and say, we want these children to be united with their mommy. We're going to get him and her into counseling. And we're going to see if we can save this union or at least create a situation where there is an exchange of children within civility for both. You know, when these people go, when our brothers and sisters go to the court, they always have the little Fred Flintstone-looking white lesbian female lawyer there who's paid to bust up families. That's what they have. I don't care if people don't like me. I don't need any friends. You know the type. They have in Philly. I've seen them all over. They're there, and they're the woman's. And I know what it's like to accompany a woman to support her for, you know, for something. And I was treated like I was a rapist, and I was in solidarity for the sister who'd been attacked. I was treated just by virtue of me being male. She treated me like a criminal. She was a white female. So I know when you go in, there's no such thing as a man that respects, or it's on the woman's side. So, I mean, if you're male, be careful. Don't go there because they'll find somebody to put charges on you. And that's their job. And people want to pretend that there isn't a stream of white supremacy and white women where they operate. White supremacy in America is a mom-and-pop business, not just pop. And mom does her stuff in the courts, in the abortion clinics. She's the teacher that says your kid's retarded. This is where the racism of white women shows itself, the systemic, institutional, structural. It may not lynch you or hang you, but it can scream rape, or it can deny, or it can make a person pay child support for a child that's not theirs, or assess the payments higher than the person can afford. So we have them further dividing us in an already difficult situation, and there should have been counseling. It's very clear that there's some passion. These people love each other. When you hear this guy talk about her, it's not like it's hate. It's like, you know, what do they call addictive love or some sort of. Have you ever seen two people? If you pull them apart, they go nuts. When you have them together, they fight, but there's something there. And a lot of us haven't been taught how to care about each other or how to receive love or to give it or to even know how to set boundaries or barriers. So you have a couple where there's love, there's some life, there's clearly some activity. I mean, because they act like they, you know, I've heard people with problems have the best sex but the worst of everything else. So they had some people who had some real good jungle slamming going on, but real deep unresolved issues in her past, his past, got in the way. And then the police were called and so forth, and I can just say to you as a black man, if you've ever had someone call the police on you, you may call the police first if you think something's going to happen to you a second time, because you get one too many calls, then you get on a list as a black dude that beats up women. So this dude seemed to be quick on the draw to pick up his phone and call on her. And that's how they've got us. Where are the wise elders and mothers and brothers and people to sit people down? We had this stuff 200 years ago. Philadelphia, and for that matter, in Philadelphia and in Wilmington, Delaware, and places like Boston, the black communities and churches had adjudicative boards. They had their own people court. We didn't need that jackass Judge Judy to work out our problems. We didn't need these people. So what really shows there is that Marissa never faced a jury of her peers. Her husband never had a jury of his peers because we're their peers. We're the people that look like us to determine the solution and the restitution deserving if someone's aggrieved in this situation. This points to the lack of our human rights and that this whole system, when did the court system in Florida really come into being and really get active? At the end of the enslavement of Africans. It's doing what it was created to do, enslave, destroy, and control Africans. Florida didn't have that many people prior to 1870. Florida had a sparsely populated state. You in jails and courts and all that to make certain that those black folk were kept down and that they who had a significant population in that state didn't get any political power. That's what Florida's always been about. That's how it is. So for me, in reality, somebody should have stepped in. This is something that the NAACP, since you don't have a dead person like Trayvon Martin, this should have been an easy one. What are all those people down there that were out there for Trayvon Martin Does it require CNN? Do you need a Don Lemon lisping with his hand bent before you'll go down and get involved, NAACP and other people? I like Don Lemon, but he's the one that put himself out there, so just using him as an example. Does it require being on 24-hour news before some of these groups get involved? And by the way, that's something I have to say right now. If you think about it, one of the reasons that nobody's doing nothing about Marissa Alexander in Florida is because they've been told to cool that stuff off. The same way that they threw the case to make certain that Zimmerman got off, Al Sharpton and Boy Phyllis and all of them have probably been told to cool it on Florida. They don't want to make that boy, that who's that Latino guy? I'm forgetting his name because I have this New York politician's name. De Blasio is in New York, and I can't remember this one down in Florida that they're pushing, the Cuban American. His name has a vowel at the end of it. It's confusing me. I'm sorry. I don't want to say his name wrong. Maybe I'll pull it up, but you know who I'm talking about. There's a Floridian politician that they want to run for president. Cuban American,
right.
And his name ends in a vowel. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And they don't want to give the Republicans anything to galvanize down there about, because they want that to be a swing state, and they want to get that state again. And so they're going to be careful. But I'll just say this to you: there should have been. And I'm disappointed because we have more black women on death row and all these black women being raped in the military and killed in the military and committing suicide in the military. And these same black women's organizations that can't touch anything that's male because they females. When there's something dead in your face that's impacting black women, these folks are more MIA. They're more MIA than somebody from Vietnam in the 60s, okay? Where is the Delta Sigma Theta sorority? When they have folks online that can eat kitty litter, pardon my language, out of another woman's vagina to become a member of that organization, and they can't do a petition drive to get this sister out, I'm angry. This is a woman's thing. I'm saying this is someone that does a little bit of advocacy around women's stuff and get attacked by women for speaking up. And they say, well, would you do it? And then I'll do something else. And the answer is no to that, too. So, you know, actually, Sister Empress, Queen Chi, looks like you may have to be the one that spearheads this, because the women that are active want to be in a group led by people like Ben Jealous. He's probably jealous of real men.
Well, my brother, you know, this was one of the reasons why we formed the Black Women's Defense League, because we saw there was a real void in representation for our women when it came to, you know, these types of issues and situations, incarceration and so forth and so on. But before I go on with that, I had to provide a point of clarity. The husband, Rico, whatever his name is, Marissa Alexander, you might be confusing her first husband, who really has stood up and spoken out for her. And has done so with
the second husband. I talk about the second husband, who has. I've got PDF copies of a police complaint where she attacked him at his apartment. It wasn't that serious, but the point is, there were problems in that relationship.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
There were
problems,
and that's what I'm saying. They need counseling. They need care and compassion. They don't need jail time.
Well,
they don't need jail time.
She certainly
doesn't. Right?
And he,
if you understand, there's another story here. There's a story that She runs around without his wedding ring on, goes and spends time with the ex-husband or something like that and so forth and so forth. Not that that means anybody should swing or touch anyone. There are a whole lot of things in there that are very, very difficult if you've got folks who are in crisis. I'm not defending him, but I am saying if I hit you and you called the police, whether you had a welt in your face or not, they're gonna take me down to the police station. When she hit him at his house in front of his kids and he called the police took a statement but didn't do anything about it. Now, I'm not talking about her being arrested or anything like that. Somebody rational should have said, look, this thing is ongoing. This is chronic. This person has had a chemical abuse background at some point. Not that they're on it now, but we need to make certain that the children, because she has hers and she has some with him, we need to protect this family. Even if we have to remove this fool or have supervised visits or whatever, but some sort of protection for the children and help for the adults. This didn't happen, no matter who's swinging. Okay? And she doesn't belong in jail at all. I think that, if anything, a small insurance payment for the bullet lodged in the wall. And they pull the bullet out, put some plaster in to keep moving. But they should be in some sort of conflict, anger management thing. And he shouldn't be able to be around her, and she shouldn't be around him until this is worked out, if that can be done. But
well,
see, my main concern about this is that having had some women assault me in my time and get treated like I'm the monster, and I hit nobody. Do women out there hit men and manhandle? Yes, they do. Now, does he have the right to hit on her? No, he doesn't. But if she has an anger management problem, if she has a history of having some issues with anger or conflict, and they're together, and then their lives involved, we've got to figure out how to protect the children, secure her, and create a situation where nobody's harmed. And if that means he might need to be put somewhere or something, then that should be incarceration for nobody should be what happened. And if he was over there and he violated the rule, they should put his butt in somewhere. He should be punished, but jailing them. In fact, if he's
okay.
the one making money and taking care of the kids, then you lose the income. If she doesn't have sufficient income, then these kids end up war to the state. So I'm thinking about the kids and the woman.
Okay.
And
the I would definitely agree that the children should be considered in many, many ways. However, we're dealing with kind of like three different areas here. And one of them, and then we're going to go to our lines because it seems like our folks got a lot to say. One of them concerns me in terms of the reports of her being abusive. Now, this man has said himself that he has lied, okay? So this whole report of she attacking him at his apartment, I'm real kind of suspect of that one because of several things. One, did you see him? Did you listen to him? I mean, watched him? Because, as you well know, my brother, you can tell a lot with people with their body language and so forth. And it's not just because I am an advocate for our sisters, which I am, of course, but I'm also pretty fair and pretty realistic. And the reality is I looked at him very closely, and I listened to what he said. And remember, he is a manipulator. And how do we know that? Well, because the other reports about him said that when at one point he was going to give an interview to one of the major, you know, news groups, but then decided that, okay, you need to pay me. So if you don't pay me, I'm not giving you an interview. You know, this man,
now,
there is on record.
If you
him
have
on record if, with him,
you haven't heard me say that I like this guy. You heard
no,
me, heard
but I'm
me
not
say
even going into
light.
No,
no, no.
I'm going
I'm
into credibility
about the man. No, and that's why I said if this police report means anything, the police didn't find anything, so nothing was done. Maybe the police are on top of it. That's Florida. So my point is this, that if there's a problem, this should be found out through an investigation. And apparently they did do an investigation, but whatever they did locked her up. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Oh,
I have
absolutely.
A problem with whoever did that, which is why take all of everybody's stuff and let's look at it. And if this fool is found out lying, then, you know, maybe he'd do better with boyfriends in lockup than with a woman with his children. Not that I want that either, but we've got to at least know. Now, and do people lie? Yes. Do guys lie? They do all the time. The main one is I ain't his daddy. I mean, that's the old, I mean, in fact, something, just say he is yours. And maybe if she doesn't like you, she'll deny it, then you don't have to pay. But to say it's not yours, you got the same chin, same eyes. I mean, maybe has a birthmark that looks like his tattoo, and he's not yours. So, yes, men lie, men manipulate. And no, I don't completely trust him at all. But if they really investigated that, and see, clearly they did not. They took the second husband's information, because that's the only reason I could see that they would be so harsh with her, is that weighed heavily on who made the decision. Had someone like you, like I said, a jury of his peers, if some sisters and some other people who can see through his BS, who are not a bunch of strange people who just don't like black families being together unless they're same sex, okay, they love those. If that were the case, we would be able to say, you know what, pardon my language, nigga, you lying. You lying, you know, and you will go to jail. Because if it were me, and he tried to set her up, and she's the caregiver of the kid, you know I'd want to see his butt locked up. I mean, just, or at least punished in such a way that he gets it, they'll ever try to run a scam like this on your own. If you're understanding what I'm saying, this is very important. So that's all. I'm not saying, oh, Marissa Alexander's a bad person. You never heard me say anything like that. What I know is that she's been treated unfairly by the system, and that there's this police report that says this stuff, which is where someone got the basis for, I believe, treating her harshly. Now, if this is not true, like a polygraph and other things, then let's work with it. But...
So now, in that analogy, since we're talking about utilizing a report that the police supposedly made, then where is the application of the report of her being abused and the what is the thing that they issue? Oh, gosh, it just escaped me. The protection order. So now if there is some fairness here or some projection that, okay, this is what happened based on a police report about her, so where's the application of the police report about him and the protection order?
I'm in full agreement. My only question is, that these folks look and say, gun crime, let's go overboard because a gun was used, and let's just interpret this thing stupidly. And to quote Obama, let's interpret this law stupidly. A gun was fired, let's throw the book at her. Do you follow what I'm saying? They'll treat the gun being fired as far more serious than the fact that this man was violating a civil protection order. Are you feeling what I'm saying? In other words, he did this, but she had a gun, and that's what we're going after. We don't like guns in Florida. So So him coming by the house, well, she called the police. So, but and we told her not to fire the gun. She fired it anyway, and the law is the law.
Gosh.
And remember, the same little nasty judge. It's the same little nasty judge that did Trayvon. This little this white woman that looks like Woodsy Owl with blonde hair. I mean, you have this vicious, and again, this is a white woman. I keep telling your sisters, you know, white women are our best friend and black men are the enemy. You know, and I look at the court and the way that they treat this is like, okay, all right, you know, I know we just can't possibly be your brothers no matter how committed we are. But that same woman, she just put a knife in Trayvon Martin's mother's chest. Why not do it to Miss Alexander? Why not?
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to go to our line. We have a bunch of folks that have some comments that they want to bring in, and so we want you all to do that. So let's see. Caller, you're at 5146. Hopefully we're able to bring you in. It seems like our boards may be working a little bit now, but it's still okay. I think we have you. 5146, you have a comment or question for us.
Yes, I do. I think that the gentleman just speaking really and truly hit on some very important points about families. Families are under a lot of pressure, and often the legal system does not have the purview to keep them together. And what he said about counseling and caring and compassion, that's critical because the justice system appears to want to incarcerate. Incarceration is not the answer, but they enjoy using that power and that privilege, and I understand that very well. And as we speak, I'm fighting for my son's life right now. My son has not hit anybody. He's not been in a relationship with anybody, but they are using his computer to destroy his life and destroy his freedom. This is okay. You're not in a relationship. You didn't hit anyone, didn't argue with anyone. But we reached across county lines, and we found that although you live in this county, we're going to file charges against you because there are things in your computer that we don't understand. My son was not home when they came in and took his computer away. And they have filed felony charges against my son in Colorado based on information that they said was on his computer. We are not familiar with that information. We did not request it. We did not download it. We did not attempt to sell it or exploit it. But they are building a case right now tonight against my son based on the digital air. So with, by any means possible, they will look for a way to crush a mother's heart. They don't have to kill the child like they did with Trayvon Martin, but they can slowly take away his life. And that's what's happening to my son tonight in Douglas County, Colorado. So I hope and pray that people who are familiar with the various schemes and purview that they use to undermine the black lives, that they will take note of what the guest just said. They look for a way to enslave, destroy, and control. And my son is a college graduate, and he has not hurt anyone, but they saw him as a target. And they said, well, if we can't get the mom, we'll get the child. So now they're giving him an option. Between, you know, the option is, okay, we want you to, you know, take a plea deal and admit to doing something that you're not guilty of, or you can face potentially an all-white female jury in Douglas County. Now, as the guest said before, everyone is entitled to have a jury of his peers. There are not many people in Douglas County that looks like my son. My son is a young black male. There are not many young black male in Douglas County. You're looking at a very rich and a very white county in Colorado. So I don't know who they will get for the jury, but chances are this jury will be skewed against my son. Because as he's been on bail or out on bond, they're looking at both of us as if we have two heads. And they know that we have not hurt anyone. They know that we are not capable and doesn't have in our DNA or in our desire to hurt anyone. But they're going to try to brainwash the community, believing that we are state, an enemy of the state. And we're not. We're not. So I totally understand the struggle of Alyssa Alexander. As a black female, my heart goes out to her. And there are not many people who will rise to the occasion to do what's necessary and important to assist her. They'll just look away or put their head in the sand and say, well, what can I do? I don't know what to do. Yes, they can organize, and there are organizations in place that can make a difference. So I've been crying and begging and pleading and asking for help now for months for my son in Colorado.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Sister.
A question before she goes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people in the group I work with, we're small, it's a handful, but they tend to do what they can. Do you know a Dr. James Tucker?
Yes, I do. Mr. Tucker is one of the only individual that came from Colorado Springs and stood beside my son as a character reference at the first court hearing. Mr. Tucker has been a soldier. He's been a strong black male, and he knows he has a rapport with my son. He knows this young man did not do anything warrant the jail time. He knows that.
Okay, because that
all right. Thank you so much. Okay. We want to go now to caller. You're at 4233. We're going to open up your mic now, and we should have you now. 4233?
Yes. This is Belinda Parker Brown. I'm calling from Louisiana.
Yes. Thank you, sister. Okay. We've been having a real good meeting on this.
I am really enjoying it, and it's about time. You know, I'm excited that everybody is, you know, is talking about all the circumstances and situations that we are facing in this 21st century. It's time to expose it. But I promise you that I'm telling you, down here in Louisiana, I know we talked earlier today, Sister Empress, and that, you know, I really appreciate you, and just having people like yourself out there doing what you're doing is so much needed, so much needed. But here in Louisiana, I'm telling you, it is a disaster here. You know, Katrina told the real story about how bad people were being treated here when they had to die waiting to be rescued. And right now, you know, we have a husband and his wife is locked up in jail. It's been going on for about 5 years now. And these people, they took their tragedy, the death of their child, and made them victims of it. I'm talking about Mr. Earl Victor and Mrs. Tanya Victor. You know, these people are suffering all because they were prominent business people. This man was a real estate investor and a contractor developer here in the area, and he was bringing about a plan that was going to give hundreds of jobs to people that is a predominantly black parish here in Louisiana. It's called Reserves. And this man had worked all of his life and his decided that he was going to do something to develop that community, to bring those people out of poverty and build businesses and homes and jobs and stuff for people. And this man is sitting in jail right now because the death of his child, the tragedy, the child died from an asthma attack. And they rushed him to the hospital. And the first judge he had was a black judge, you know, a real upstanding judge in the community that, you know, have honesty and value and dignity about herself. And she looked at the evidence in this case after a forensic autopsy and everything had been done, and there was not a homicide. The judge ruled the case that it was not a homicide, and she dismissed it. The DA got upset, and what they did was change the docket number, brung back the case in the front of another judge, which is a white judge, which is her husband is a prominent developer in the community, and he is an attorney, and she is a judge. and they're filthy rich.
Mm.
Mr. Victor's plan had always opposed their plan from the very beginning. So they took this man's tragedy. This man and his wife don't even know where their child is buried. They arrested that man the night in the hospital before any investigations or anything was done and charged him and his wife with first-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
When the judge ruled that it was not a homicide, they decided that they was going to go after this man and destroy him and his family for every single dime. This man had money. He told one of his business partners that if anything happened to him at any point in time, he'd have enough money in the bank to take care of his family and his kids for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they took all this man money at the bank. They shoved this house down to a concrete slab, his million-dollar home that him and his wife and kids labored and built and worked so hard
mm-hmm.
to be upstanding citizens in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It took everything. They stripped this man of every single thing that he had, took his kids away, his 2 and 3 year old, all of his kids, away from him and put him in foster care. He don't even know where his baby's at. Then they took in charge, and when he knew that they were coming after him, that when he knew this, he decided that him and his wife was going to have to leave and go somewhere and get help.
Mm-hmm.
They put and his wife on America's Most Wanted without these people being convicted of any kind of crime, because they came back and charged him with second degree murder. So the court is corrupt. They done fabricated and lied and concocted and fought and framed this man and his family and just then drug them through the mud like you would not believe. They took this man and his wife and locked him up in Angola. And this man have not been convicted of a crime. And now,
what state did this happen in?
This is in Louisiana. Louisiana have more people incarcerated per capita than anywhere else in the world. They're sticking people in these godforsaken hell holes like you would not believe. You would not believe how the crimes against humanity is taking place inside of these prisons and jails down here. Right now, Mr. Victor is sick. He's bleeding from his bowels and his mouth. And we're concerned about him because they took him and they locked him up in Angola, okay? Then when they released him, they came back because they had to release him because he had spent 3 years in jail for nothing. But they charged him and convicted him of bond jumping, bail jumping, a charge that you ain't never heard of happening here in Louisiana. Before they can even convict him of anything, why would you convict him of bail jumping when you didn't even bring the first or second degree to murder? He ain't been to trial for nothing.
That almost sounds like Rosewood.
Baby, it's worse than Rosewood because you would not believe that this man... They buried this man's baby, and he don't even know where his child is buried. They have not even had a chance to mourn their child's death. It was a tragedy. The child died from fixation, from an asthma attack. But because they wanted to go after this man and stop him in his tracks from developing this little, the town is probably 97% predominantly black on one side, and then the other side is right connected to each other. And if this man would have came about this plan, he would have totally eliminated the area that they were trying to build up. It would have eliminated their plan for what they wanted to do, build some type of fancy golf courts and take away, because the land is prime, it's a gold mine. The area, the corridor of the area is right between New Orleans and Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
the capital of Louisiana. And New Orleans is the city.
Sister Belinda, hold that point right there. Dr. Randy Short, I'd like to hear your comment, and then we're going to go back to our live line because we have a lot of folks have some comments or questions for you. So Brother Randy,
I
got to
tell y'all about what's
now,
happened in Johnville, Louisiana, about black men that been locked up too, Sister Empress.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I have to tell you what's happening in Johnsboro, Louisiana, where they took, and this man won the election November 2012 in the runoff for mayor against a white mayor.
Okay. I want you to
and
hold
he
that
won,
point
and
right
they
locked
this man up and put him in jail.
I want you to hold
but
that point because there's some feedback coming from your phone. So hold that point right there. Brother Randy, do you have a question or a comment for the sister right now?
The sister in Louisiana, I hear her on a regular basis on Reverend Pinckney's show. The one thing that I'm curious about, because this effort on the 25th of October, where the Million Woman Movement is going to charge genocide, my question is, who's supporting the brother there? Is there a core of you folks, like five or six? And the reason I'm asking is whenever folks call from certain towns, a lot of times they don't have a bunch of people behind them. If you don't have money and you don't have power and you don't have people and you're talking to another group of folks who don't have a lot of money or power and they have some people, it's not as likely that you'll get the outcome of change that you want. How are you organized? Do you have five people? Do you have 10 people? I started helping people as best I could when I faced cases, and I found, I'm not saying your case because I don't know, I sometimes found that people couldn't get two or three people to stand with them. And so they're in a town way far away, and if y'all not standing together, I'm not saying you are, but if you are, that will become very helpful to pushing this issue up here and with other people, but you've got to have a core. Do you have one?
Where we're at now, we've been organizing and mobilizing for about a year now. So the town that he lives in is probably about seven core people there that's really reaching out trying to help.
Okay.
I'm probably about two hours from him, and we're organizing here. We probably have about 300 people, but it's been very difficult to get people to move across the state because it's so much that's going on right now. We got so many.
You don't have to do the whole state. We can't. Nobody has that because we haven't. There aren't enough folks like this sister here who's hosting this show, organizing and doing that. But if you've got 300 people and you've got seven, okay, then we should talk about off the phone, off of this, of some ideas. Like, because this is, this then becomes, there may be a, it's going to sound strange to you, there are different things that people can begin to do that are not going to necessarily, this stuff has been jacked up for 400 years down in Louisiana.
It's bad down here.
But we can begin to take steps that in a year or two or three, and not necessarily that long, to begin to organize something around this within a year or two, and not necessarily two, you have a real push on this. For example, if y'all got 300 people, y'all need to come up to either D.C. or Atlanta or Chicago, someplace, and make this something where you come up and you see. You see the president, if not the president, you force it. Because down there, for example, you've got Jindal.
How do you say an Indian, and I have a lot of friends that are Indian, and my friends are Indian, these folks want to be white and hate black people, and I don't see any strong thing of exposing, because if enough of y'all are mad, I know folk that are Indian, at least I think, who find this story interesting that this guy who's a caste Hindu who calls himself a Christian is practicing casteism on you, even if you don't know what this means. There's a little game that they're playing.
It's a game, and they're really serious about it because...
But it's very serious, but you know what? It's very beatable.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just on a radio show before I came on this one, and a little white Cuban woman thought she's going to loud talk me on a radio show, never have me as a guest and think someone's going to loud talk me. And I had to put her in her place that we were talking about African-American women. And I don't care about other people's women when I'm talking about defending my own. She's
right,
another man's woman to fight for. Not that I'd do anything to hurt her, not that I would deny her human rights, but I was talking about my women.
Right.
You are my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought, and this sounds strange, sister, but when I've heard you on the Pinkney Show, and this is sort of why it's very good that you have Sister Empress, this thing in October, y'all really need to turn out, even if it's just a couple of y'all in a van, because I'm too broke to be anywhere else. I know a few people. And I also know, sister, that it is possible to go after the entire system. For example, if you wanted to really rock the people's world in Louisiana right now,
right,
y'all need to start, this will sound crazy, consider voting Republican or independent, not that I like either party, not that I like either, don't get me wrong, but you understand what I'm saying? Or, I don't know what that is.
What is that noise? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, they don't want us talking. Good. You talk. I must annoy people. Good.
By the way, let me just interrupt for one moment. We were in the chat room, and unfortunately, family, for those of you who were trying to get in the chat room, you might have noticed that it crashed. We had it up for a minute, and then it just faded away. So we're having a lot of technical difficulties tonight.
Sister, I would like for you to get my number from the queen of this show, because I have always wanted to get some of the people who are in Louisiana to hook up with their counterparts. Your counterparts are called Dalits or Untouchable. They're the black people in India that have been kicked around for the last 3,500 years. They understand Bobby Jindal perfectly. And what one try to do is get this put in the news internationally that this Indian man is coming and practicing Hindu racism through the Republican Party on black people.
Wow.
Okay?
That is...
Because this is very interesting news over in Kenya and Uganda and South Africa. And you see, the Republican Party can be called on this, of pushing, hiding behind this kind of casteism, and to say that this person may be Christian, but the origin of his belief system of oppression is Hinduism, which is innately racist, and you can get other Indian people coming and say this is true, and where they are in India, people like Jindal burn the churches down.
Wow.
Try something crazy on these people. You see, and if a couple of y'all come up here or go some places or begin to look at different approaches, even getting, and I say please do this, y'all need to join some sort of party. You need to be duly aligned. Sister Empress knows Alton Maddox up in New York. Y'all need to join up with the United African Movement.
Okay.
Y'all
all right.
To,
that sounds great.
They're up in New York. We need to look and see how we can cobble relationships between different people. You got the Black Panther Party. They're in Chicago. They would be – do you see how if we pull a coalition of people together,
they don't want y'all talking to people outside the state.
Right,
right.
That is
don't.
So true. That's how they, oh, my God, they got people
but,
down
so,
here
so that,
afraid.
So then you start talking to people outside the state. You know,
mm-hmm.
there was a young man that was in jail. I almost got him out of jail. You know how they stopped me? They forced me to work with in-state people in North Carolina, and they didn't want to help the brother that was in, he's still in jail. And they were afraid of black people outside of state. And so the NAACP and all these other guilty people, in fact, are any of y'all associated with the NAACP down there?
Well, you know, we don't, yeah, I'm associated, but you know, they don't do nothing. They don't do nothing.
But you know what, y'all all need to quit the NAACP, and you need to see, you need to find United African is one, I mean, Pinkney Nunn is small.
And you know,
small.
Of course, we're developing the Million Woman Party and the People's
yeah.
Power Party. We're working
mm-hmm.
on that to unveil
you got
that
her
right here.
Do you get what I'm saying, sister? You,
yes, I get what you're
right.
saying.
This woman here is who you need. You instead of thinking that it's going to come there, it might be. And the reason I hooked up with this sister, this queen, she here, is I understood
mm-hmm.
that the people that I need to know are not in Washington. I needed to know the people in Philly and New York. I
mm-hmm.
need to meet the people in Baltimore. Because sometimes the people that are local around you don't want anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make them want it. So you can be active and be doing the right thing, but you can't get anyone to coalesce with you. It isn't that you aren't able. It's not that you don't have the passion or the vision. You've got the right connection. So you need to build with this woman's party, with the National Million Women's Group, the United
mm-hmm.
Africa with your New York connection, the Black Panthers would be your Chicago connection. You'd start to build as well. You want to get some people that are crazy. Since the Empress has some friends in the All African People's Revolutionary Party, they're crazy as hell, too.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people out here who still want to fight, who are tired. I just saw Chuck Hicks. I know you know who I'm talking about. His father's one of the founders of the Deacons for Defense.
Mm-hmm.
You guys made. We create a Deacons for Defense group down
that's
there.
That's right. I know that's right.
They just tried to set the man's wife's house on fire on King's birthday last
right.
year.
Right. I know who you're talking about.
House.
We
okay.
Yeah.
I
just met a guy. Actually, he just started. We just started networking and working together. But he's trying to, you know, reenact the, well, I guess bring it back alive, the Deacon of Defense. So, because we need all the help we can get. I'm here to tell you, it's
but
a disaster here. It, you know, they have made these people victims all over again, and they, you know, people are suffering. People are hurting so bad.
Mama D
Sister Belinda,
and New Orleans.
I want you both to hold those thoughts for a moment. We want to bring in another question or comment. We have a couple of people been holding for quite a while.
Okay, go ahead.
We want to make sure we give them the opportunity. Okay, caller, you are at 7940. Do you have a question or a comment for either Sister Belinda or Dr. Randy Short, or just something in general you want to share with us? Please take the time to do so.
I do. I have a few things briefly I want to share. Sister Belinda, no, Sister Ali, I met Brother
Hey,
Errol,
Sister Ali.
Hey, and I am from California. And
okay.
I also know Randy Shore and also know you. But what I'm looking at, we gotta put the a conscience on our people to let them know. These things will continue to happen to our people because we got to learn to build a solidary chain. And when one hurt, we all hurt. I'm in California. I've been reaching out to people, and I've been asking people to help. And you know, Sister Empress, I have told you about the Victor story. I
mm-hmm.
have talked to everybody I can, trying
mm-hmm.
to reach out and constantly reaching out because this could be me. You see,
right.
the problem is with our people. If it ain't
right.
happened to us, And then we got an old saying about us, our people. Once we go to a funeral, that's when our family come together and see each other. Other than that, if it's not a funeral, we don't see each other. See, so do our open enemy have to just start going to our home and taking us to these concentration camps and suspending the Constitution where we won't have no rights at all before we get up and fight? See, we got to stop that foolishness. We got to stop letting these religious people sell us with this religious propaganda. We don't let the Lord take care of it. God take care of his people once his people put something in action. And faith without works is dead. So what you mean you gonna let the Lord take care? And I'm gonna tell you, a lot of these people need to stop doing. They need to stop allowing themselves to be so brainwashed until they can't feel nobody else's pain. And I'm gonna tell you something. What the enemy will do, he got many techniques of COINTELPRO. Long as we got a little change in the bank, a little car, and a little home, we cool. But see, let me tell you something. That is not nothing, because that's just a distraction for us to feel like we made it. We ain't made it if our people still suffering. And if you got a few Oprah Winfrey's, a few black people that's in Hollywood, well, guess what? The same ones who giving them that paycheck is the same ones is running these private prison industrialists countries working with this secret society, the global elite, and they have hijacked this government. And see, we have always suffered. And as y'all do know, I'm a targeted individual from electronic harassment and torture, because they have this advanced technology not can just mess with my mind, but mess with everybody else's mind and alter their behavior. But just take that away and just think about common denominators. They want to create a eugenic depopulation program. These are corrupted people that's hiding behind the government, wicked in high places, and want to create this law to be the way they want to be. And they going back to them days of when they was hanging us from trees and nobody could say nothing. But instead of doing that, they are using the legal system and using that as a form of hanging us by the trees, because it's a lot of black brothers ain't never coming home no more. Feel me? It's a lot of sisters ain't coming home. But they want to act like it's the drugs and the guns. But we ain't got no airplanes to fly this dope over here. So another thing we need to do, we need to educate our young children, and with all this foolishness in our heads. And I hate that we don't teach our children homeschool, because, see, a lot of this is we lazy. We got to create a village again, and we got to come out and help my people so that the Creator can heal the land. Why should you patronize with the enemy? We need to go back to bartering, and what I don't have, you should give me, and I should give you, and we should trade off. But see, I'm going to tell you something. If one got something, we getting on that phone gossiping. We talking about, oh, well, she ain't got this, she ain't got that. We got to learn to, you stock up this, you stock up this. Everybody back in the days, everybody eating it on the block. But see, you got people where they allow these drugs to consume their mind, where they feel like they want to rob for somebody who helped. Because see, nothing, we didn't put our peoples in no rest home. We didn't do that. We took care of our peoples. Now we giving them to the enemy, and they looking at them as a state number. And what does a state number represent? Wealth for others. They live deliciously on our misery. And when we see these things, we got to come up with a plan of action. And a plan of action has a lot to do with self-reliance and preservation. And what are you willing to give up to lose the game? It ain't even about us no more. We didn't live almost our life to get to the next dimension. It's about our children's children. So if we're going to keep complaining about what they're doing, or we gonna work together? And Sister Belinda can tell the truth that I be calling her and talking to her. And then another thing, I'm going to tell you what I noticed, that these lawyers is worried about what kind of their bar association being taken away from them by sabotaging techniques to be able to remove them. So another thing, I don't know if you know about the Black Bar Association. You should try to reach out to them. And then a lot of people believe that what the media say, you can't listen to the media. The media is bought off and paid for, and it's going to tell what they want the people to hear. It's another form of brainwash propaganda so they can make the people believe other than the truth. In the last and evil days, the Bible say, you're going to believe a lie before the truth. Do you want somebody to reach out to you if you was in these different predicaments? So even with us going through the Trayvon Martin situation, you know, you got to wake up and know that they just really want to get rid of the Aboriginal people on the planet. For why? The one reason. If anything mixed with us, it is considered black, because we are with a dominant gene over the recessive gene, and they are fighting for their survival, and we need to know these things. Why, when everybody else could create their village, they got a Mexico around the community, they got a Chinatown around the community, they got an Arabic community, but when black people, why we don't have nothing? Because they're afraid that when we rise, ain't no turning back. We're going to fulfill that part of prophecy. The last shall become first, and the first will become last.
All right.
My
sister.
My last closing.
We need to go to another call, and we only have a few minutes left. What I'd like to do, though, stay there, Sister Amy, and, of course, Sister Belinda and Brother Randy. We're going to bring in one more call. We just have a few minutes left, but this call has been holding on for a while, too, and want to make sure, you know, when our people are holding on in there, we like to, you know, try to get them in when we can. So all of you, I'm sure you understand, we want to bring in this last caller who's been holding on for a while. But before we do, I just want to say that all of what you're all saying are on point, but just remember, until we are organized, we can think all we want to think. We can have all of whatever we're talking about. We must become organized and support those plans that are being placed before us. Because as you know, Sister Amy, much of what you said, I've already talked about and have created a plan of action for it. But particularly to the sisters, how well will you support this? You see, so we can keep having all this dialogue forever and a day, but there's now a movement for women and girls of African descent. The challenge now is on the sisters in that regard. It's on all of us, of course, to do the work that is necessary to have the honor for our ancestors, of course. But there's some aspects that now our sisters have that responsibility to bring forward. And the question is, will you now do it? Will you now stand? We will now see. Hold that point. We got just a few minutes. We're going to go to caller. We thank you for holding, and we definitely want to bring you in now and get your comment or question. We only have a few minutes, though. You're at 3217. Go.
Revolutionary greetings, Africans. How are you doing?
Hey, Brother Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? All right.
I don't know where to begin. So much was said, so and said so much they can make me speak real short. I had a lot to say, but you know. But anyway, let me just make a couple points of observations. I don't know where to start. Number one, I think, you know, it's best for us to recognize that this old quote where people say history is best to reward those who research.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that to everybody online tonight because, as Brother Kwame Ture often says, that we as a people, we have unity to action. And this is what I hear tonight. We have unity to action, but we don't have unity of thought. It's that aspect that we are lacking, is unity of thought. And we would never arrive at this question of unity of thought unless, as you stated earlier, we are organized, properly organized. The brother made Dr. Randall Short made a statement about looking at how you can play the two parties against each other. That is true. But fundamentally, I think our people need to realize the two-party system is the enemy to our people. And yes, whatever they're doing in your area, we should look at that as a tool to use against the parties. I don't care which one, because they're both the same.
That's
but
right.
If you are facing injustice in your state and no one is coming forward to help you, whatever, then one of the people who have the power to alleviate your pressure is these two reactionary parties. And if you do anything to undermine their interests and ultimately destroy them, that's what should be our aim. We should have one fundamental issue to destroy all capitalist institutions and institutions, whether it's the political systems, parties, or the justice system. The court is a tool of the rich and the wealthy in a capitalist society.
Right.
So you can't understand history and understand who are really our enemy and how the system works. We will continue to repeat errors of the past, and that's what I hear tonight a lot of errors of the past. We need to learn from the past and not repeat it, but correct our errors in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot resolve our issues and our problems through mobilization. Mobilization is not the solution to our problem. We got to be organized. There's a difference between organization and mobilization. But yes, mobilization does has its place. And, you know, as you stated earlier, we stated often in the APRPGC, or African People Revolutionary Party, from time to time, and Brother Kwame Ture, he makes a statement sometimes, that's a conditionally sometimes, bad organization better than none at all. It is true. We can't do things by ourselves. Join some organization. We got to join some organization. All these people fighting spontaneity individual, we must join some organization and connect with. I am an advocate with the sister called earlier, Sister Katie Fulton, and I would like, and her point is clear, and it's point to all the cases. Our people are being crushed by the state. If you don't have resources, you don't have exposure, then 9 times out of 10, you're in serious problems, because that's the way it's designed. So a lot of times, we got to recognize fundamentally, as a people, we must be all for one, one for all, regardless of where we are at. If we don't have pressure, if we don't have support inside of where we're organizing at, then our people must understand that where we are, we must come support each other. Because there's too many of these problems going on and on, and it's intentional. But if we begin to look at ourselves as one, and work as one, and if they do something to a brother or sister in California, no matter where we are, we understand it's our responsibility to come and assist them, then that equation sort of change. So it's a lot of things I really want to say one here. I just want to make a few statements. I would like to say the sister didn't get a chance as an advocate for the sister, Katie Fulton, Michael Fulton. If folks can't find a way, because fundamentally people need resources, everybody needs resources. If they can't find a way or want to know more information about the sister, they can reach them or email them at saveyoursons2013@gmail.com or get a sister and a brother call. He definitely needs your help, Michael Fulton. At least call and get the information. See how you can help them. And you can reach the sister at 720-499-5146. 720-499-5146. But in closing, I would like to say this, Sister Empress. All these issues we're talking about and oppression of people, we need to look at examples of how other people overcame all these problems and why they don't have it. And the best example I can give to the people right now, I like to encourage them to come and see it for themselves, feel it for themselves, learning. We like to offer these Africans and oppressed people to look at Cuba as an example of how you take care of your people and deal with these problems that our people are facing. Cuba is a good example of that, and we'll be taking a freedom ride from December 18th to January 3rd. We encourage folks to come.
Mm-hmm.
Come. There's so much you can learn from the Cuban Revolution. This is why the Cuban Revolution is a threat.
What's that phone number again? 72?
The phone number is 720-499-5146. That's for the sister who need help, and they try to hang this young brother who did everything right. Because fundamentally, they never brought us here to compete and to learn. Anytime when you can learn and you have a perfect record, then you are the number one enemy to the state. That's what our people understand. That's why they close the public schools down. It's not that our people not learning. Our people are learning. And because they are learning, and that was the intent for our people to learn, then they have to shut them down. But dialectically, we have to say anything has a positive negative, that may be a good thing, because we should be building our own damn schools anyway.
That's
the
right.
The whole idea, they want the control of our, our kids out of them. So if they're going to do that, it all, for every door closed, one, another door open. Now put us back where we should be anyway. We should have total control on our kids, educating our kids, propagating our kids on concepts and ideas, and what is theirs, and, you know, we should have that anyway. So everything negative, you know, but the point is they didn't bring us here to compete. Because if you understand the concept of wages, wages is nothing but another sophisticated way of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get rid of this whole goddamn concept of wages.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about workers, then you talk about supervisors, what you talking about? Slave-master relationship. In essence, it's the same. It's just a form of it. That's why we must come take a serious look at and say capitalism. That's an excellent book people must read called Capitalism and Slavery. It talks about the development of wages. How we develop wages, the concept came about. It's to maintain, to give the illusion that we are free while we're still slaves. You look at the relationship between slave, between wages and managers or workers and managers, it's the same, it's essentially the same structure, just a different form of it. So if you're not really clearly talking about coming together and destroying the system, then fundamentally we're not talking about anything. We continue to suffer the way we're suffering. And we can't make the other thing we can have an independent system inside of the United States just based upon the logic of the numbers. Logically speaking, you know, what's at best 12-13% of the population? And we have a history to think every time we create independent institution inside of this border, they have all kinds of means to come destroy it. So logically, we got to think about where does our problem begin? Where did it start out at? If it started out there and your origins of your problem started there, then your solution must start where the origins of your problem started. And that leads us where? Back to Africa. We got to be a strong, independent United Africa. We say we love Malcolm X, but we don't take his ideas. That was one of the lessons he left. We say we love Marcus Garvey, but we don't take his ideas. That's one of the lessons he left for us. We say we love the Kwame Nkrumah, so take his secretary race, the Kwame race. They all say the same thing. The core of the black revolution, the core of the black revolution must be fair and will be fair to Africa. It's under Pan-Africanism. We as African people must recognize we are one people, one history, got one destination, and we must all collectively organize our ideas and energies, and whatever we do, make sure they has a direct link or unifying friend to continental Africa. That way we can be our military, where we can fight our enemies globally all over the world, like they do in NATO and U.S. That way we have an agriculture system that can produce for our people wherever we are. We create our own universal system. We can find nature as we see it and share it with the rest of the world. I mean, that's it, where we have real power. Because this illusion of money is not really, this is illusion. Money is illusion. It's fiat, it means nothing. It's what you give to it, the concepts, how we brought out this idea of a dollar. It has no value. You give
absolutely.
It the value. You give it the value. But anyway, sister, there's so much to say. I thank you for your time. I would like to invite the people to come to us, come with us to Cuba this December, the December 18th to January 3rd. For more people who would like to know, then contact the African Wedding Association at 804-549-7492. And we thank you, sister, for your time and your work.
All right, my
and
brother.
We will be
thank you, Brother Lee. And we're going to get Brother Lee back on very soon because we want to
give
really
the number again. Give the number one more time.
The number for the African Wedding Association is, you can contact us at 804-549-7492, or you can email us at African_Awareness_Association@Yahoo. If you go one time and see what freedom is, then you will be willing to fight for it. And Cuba is a good example. Come, Africans. You only see yourself, and you only see our brothers and sisters in Cuba. But I thank you again, my sister.
All right. Good thanks, Brother Lee. All right, family. We are down to our last few minutes, and we want to thank all of you for tuning into this segment of New Day Resurrection. My name is Empress Chi, and we'll be back next week. Sister Belinda, we will get you back on very soon also. And we'd like to thank Dr. Randy Clark, Dr. Randy Short, of course. Caller, you're at 1600. You got 1 minute. Make your comment very quickly, please. I'd like to get you in. So please just take one moment.
My name is Dorothy Dunning. I'm calling you from Goshen, Mississippi. And I would like to see if I can call back in next week to talk about my story about an Afro-American grandmother was fighting for custody of her grandchildren. Had no criminal history, and they awarded my grandchildren to a prominent white family where the judge said both families was able taking care of the children, but they ruled in her favor. only because she had more education and more money than me. And I would really like to talk about my case.
And all right, my sister. I'm sorry. Give me your name again.
No, my case. Dorothy Dunning.
Okay, I got you. Sister Dorothy.
And there have been many articles written on my case.
I have her number, and I have her number, family, and I will be contacting her, and we will definitely get you back on next week. Okay. Family, we're down to our last 2 minutes, so again, I'd like to thank Sister Belinda, Sister Amy, Dr. Randy Short, and all of you for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Just want to let everyone know, one of the things that we talked about earlier, I can tell you that myself and a few of my sisters are working on a curriculum for our children, those who want to do homeschooling. These are some of the things that we've been doing over the years. We want to see now if people are going to put up a shutter, meaning we're either going to do this stuff or we're not. And those who keep talking about it, we want to see how much we're going to support it. Family, again, we're down to the last minute. We thank you all again. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there can be no real peace unless there is indeed justice. And we will strive for justice, and we will win. Promote to the Shinda. Together we shall win. Family, thank you all again. We'll be back next week, same time. Hopefully we'll be able to get attorney Faye J back, but if not, we'll keep it moving. We'll talk more next week about Marissa Alexander, and you all got to read the opinion by the judge. If you need it, just send me an email, nationalmwm@aol.com. Please support the Million Woman Movement. We are the only progressive national international movement for all women and girls of African descent, regardless of religion, regardless of whatever. We're here for you. Till next time, peace out.
Thank you, Sister Anthony.
You love this.